question in the Bhagavad Gita 2.14.4, Prabhupada says that by knowledge and devotion one can move towards, one can attain liberation. So isn't knowledge included in devotion? That when we practice bhakti, at that time we study scripture, we hear, we study, we speak. So why is knowledge and devotion talked about separately? Answer: many times Srila Prabhupada's purports reflect the conclusion of the Gita irrespective of wherever he is there. And at other times Prabhupada focuses on the within the Gita's flow, the point where Krishna is. So in the Bhagavad Gita, till the second chapter, Krishna has not introduced bhakti much. Actually, the only glimpse of bhakti that Krishna gives is in 2.61, when he says, Mat paraha yukta asita mat paraha. So bhakti actually starts getting focused on from the 6th chapter onwards, and mainly in the bhakti section 7 to 12. So at this point, in 2.14, Krishna has primarily talked about knowledge. So he has said in 2.13 how we are not the body, we are the soul. And in 2.14, he says, tolerate. If you know that you are eternal, whereas bodily conditions are temporary, then you can tolerate those conditions. And then in the next verse, he will give the result, 2.15, he will give the result of tolerance. He says, Yamhi navithayantete purusham purusharshipa samadukha sukham dhiran somrutatvaya kalpate. That by such tolerance, one can attain liberation. So that means there is knowledge, from knowledge comes tolerance, and toleration of the tolerance of the temporary and staying fixed in the eternal, that will take us to the eternal level. Eternal. So that's how we attain liberation. So even in the bhakti chapter, that is the ninth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, which is most confidential knowledge, there also Krishna says, Jnanam teham savijnanam idam vakshyam yashishita. No. He says, Rajavidya Raju idam tute guhitam pravakshyam in a suyave. Jnana vijnana sahitam yajnatva moksha se shubhat. So this Jnana and Vijnana, he talks about this in the 7th chapter, in 7.2 as well as in 9.1. So Jnana is theoretical knowledge, Vijnana is realized knowledge. That's how Srila Prabhupada usually translates it. Different acharyas translate it a different way. But so basically, knowledge is the beginning point. If we don't have knowledge, we cannot even practice bhakti. At the very least, we need to know that God exists and that God is very merciful. And we, if our bhakti is to be steady, then we also need to know that I am a spiritual being. Because if I think that I am material, then if I think I am my body, then I will expect God's protection entirely at the material level. And when I don't get that protection, then I will become, my faith will become shaken, even shattered. So the knowledge is also important. And at one level, we can say knowledge is included in bhakti. But at another level, we can also say that knowledge is preliminary to bhakti. Because say initially when we start studying Bhagavad Gita, at that time, especially people who have not been brought up in a devotional background, who did not come from a devotional culture, they may not feel any devotion to Krishna. But they may just feel attraction to the wisdom of the Gita. And that knowledge will gradually prompt devotion towards them, prompt devotion towards Krishna. So in the Bhagavad Sandarbha, Jiva Goswami differentiates between Sushka Gyan and Bhakti Anukul Gyan. He says that there are three differences. That the Bhakti, the Sushka Gyan, the Gyan of the Gyanis, it is different from the Gyan of Bhaktas in three ways. In its content, in its intent, and in its effect. In its content, the Shushka Gyan of the impersonalist focuses on stressing the oneness between the Jiva and Ishvara. Whereas the Gyan of the Bhaktas, Bhakti Anukul Gyan, it focuses on stressing the difference between the Jiva and the Ishvara. That we want to understand Krishna's glories are so unlimited And we want to release those glories. So we focus, and the more we focus on, we hear about Krishna, we understand how glorious he is. It also means that we understand how different he is from us. So in content, the knowledge is different. In intent, the impersonalists want to merge in Brahman, whereas the devotees want to eternally love and serve the Brahman. And in effect, the jnana of the impersonalists, that causes their heart to harden. Because if they think that they are one with God, and who is there to love? So their heart hardens. Whereas the jnana of the bhaktas, when we understand more and more Krishna's glories, the more our affection for him increases. So thus, this jnana, he says, it's not only anukul, it's very important for a bhakta. So, in a inclusive sense, bhakti includes jnana. When we are talking about bhakti in a broad sense, yes, bhakti does include jnana. But in a analytical sense, we can say that jnana is the preliminary foundation. When we understand I am not the body, I am the soul, and I understand that with my spiritual understanding, I try for a spiritual relationship with God, then our bhakti can progress more steadily. So Krishna also, when he talks about the four kinds of people who surrender to him, he talks about this in 7:15-19. So there he says, Arto Jigyasur Artharati and Jnani. And then he says, among them, Tesham Jnani Nityukta Ek Bhakti Rishishyate Priyo Hi Jnani Nautyartha Mahapsichama Priya. He says, among them, the Jnani is the best. So that's because the Jnani's bhakti is much more steady. And then he says, this Jnani becomes Jnanavan and he surrenders to me. So initially bhajante, initially there is some approach for worship, but eventually there is a wholehearted surrender. So the Jnana, initially, if it is obtained within a bhakti context, means we study bhakti scriptures, we are learning from devotees, even if our attitude is originally intellectual, but if we understand the message properly, then the intellectual will lead us towards the devotional. And thus, the intellectual at that time will become included in the devotional. So sometimes people may come to Krishna not to develop, not to love him, but just to know his words, know the wisdom. So their motive is intellectual. So that knowledge can start off our journey. And the devotion will propel us forward on our journey. So at that stage in the Bhagavad Gita second chapter, Krishna has not talked about bhakti at all. So Prabhupada is mentioning what is taught at that level, that the knowledge, you are not the body or the soul, that is preliminary to liberation. And then there has to be tolerance. Now, Prabhupada also gives us something that will be given later in the Bhagavad Gita, that tolerance is most easily achieved when we have a higher taste. So Krishna talks about tolerance again in the fifth chapter when he says, Shaknoti haiyaha sodhum prak sharir vimokshanat. Sodhum, if you can tolerate the urges of desire and anger, then you will be yuktaha. And to tolerate, in the next verse he says, turn inwards and seek happiness within. Yo anta sukantara arama satantar jyotirevayaha. So yogi brahma nirvanam brahmbhuto divacchati. One who seeks happiness within. And then later on Krishna will tell how it is he who is present in the surudam sarvabhutanam. He is present in the heart. So Prabhupada states what is at that level knowledge, and Prabhupada gives us later what is the conclusion of the Bhagavad Gita, the most important thing, that is bhakti. So in a inclusive or synthetic sense, bhakti includes jnana, but in the sense of analysis or in the sense of the trajectory in the life of a sadhaka, knowledge is often preliminary to the practice of bhakti. And that's why stating knowledge and devotion separately is also appropriate in this context. Thank you.